I'm just kind of, last week I unpacked a whole chapter kind of storytelling wise, and I'm kind of going to do that. We're going to read some scripture, but we're going to read from 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And that entire chapter, of course, it's Easter season, talks about the resurrection of Christ. And the context of that chapter is because Christ died at the cross, went to the tomb, and rose on the third day, we have hope. Nobody has to be hopeless because Jesus gives us hope. So we're going to talk about the resurrection and the hope that it brings. There probably isn't a single chapter in the entire Bible that unpacks the resurrection. It is considered by many the greatest one chapter in the Bible on the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And as you know, Paul was speaking to the church or writing to the church in Corinth. He wrote to them. He did go visit them and speak to them several times. And so we'll kick off with just 1 Corinthians 15 verses 1 through 4 as we get started this morning. And Paul writing and the God's Word speaking to us this morning says this: "Now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved. If," everybody say if "you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received." Paul's saying, look, I'm just writing to you. I'm delivering to you. I'm telling you what I've already experienced. He's telling us about his experience. That Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures. That he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures. You know, I'm probably going to say this five times, but I'm telling you what. God's not dead. He's alive. He went to the cross. He was buried in the grave. He was raised on the third day. And Jesus is alive and well right here, right now, in Scottsdale, Arizona. And you and I are proof that Jesus lives. Can I get an amen to that? Woo! He lives. He's not a story about somebody that just died 2,000 years ago. Right before he died, he told his disciples, he said, "Now I'm going to go be with the Father." You know, there's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. He said, "I'm going to go be with the Father, but I'm going to send you a comforter called the Holy Spirit." Jesus is alive. He is Emmanuel, God with us. And the Easter, what we call the Easter story, is true. It has to be true. We know it's true. We're going to take a look at it today. But because it's true, we can have hope. You want to have an altar call? Shoo. So Paul is unpacking this, and he gives proof of the resurrection, which he mentions some of the proof in these very verses. He said, "I want to remind you about the gospel I preached to you, in whom you have taken your stand." Why do you stand for Jesus? If you have Christ in your heart this morning, do you stand for the Lord? If you've invited Christ, and I know some of you haven't, but he's here so that you can make him Lord and Savior of your life. But why do you stand? Because you asked Jesus Christ to come in your heart and you were never the same after that. You were transformed. See, the testimony of Jesus is a testimony of transformed lives. That when you invited him in, Dale and Darla's marriage was never the same. It was better. That when Dale and Darla invited it in, their life got better. Their hope and future was more sound and secure. We were walking one direction, and most of that wasn't a very good direction. Jesus turned around, and we walked in the right direction. And it's better. See, Jesus is real, and when you ask Jesus into your life, something changes. Now, I know we don't change overnight. Sometimes it takes a lifetime. But Jesus is still, I didn't even think of this. Jesus is still the ultimate transformer. Man, I need a video. That was the Lord, I'm telling y'all. (Laughs) How do I know Jesus is alive? Because I've seen him change many of your lives and other lives, and I know he changed my life. You can't talk me out of it. Because I know. Can you shout hallelujah? Well, then we read here, the testimony is also not just changed lives, but the Word of God, according to the Scripture. The Scripture in the Old Testament and the New Testament talked about the gospel all along. Talked about the death, burial, and resurrection. Talked about the Messiah that would come. The Jewish people were waiting for the Messiah to come. So it's not just transformed lives. The Word of God validates the message of Easter and the message of resurrection. Acts 1 and 3, it says about Jesus, after his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. Jesus began to show up to many, many people. He was tangible. He wasn't in the grave any longer. He began to show up as the Scripture said that he would. One of the great things about Scripture is that it's true, for one. But there's dozens and dozens and dozens of prophecy which sets the Word of God apart from any other thing that was prophesied by many writers during many seasons over many centuries. But it was the same message from God and God, men writing through the Holy Spirit that Jesus would come. And so not only do we know because we're transformed, but we know from the Scriptures. The Scripture is still proof. And I tell you, if you're having a tough day or a tough week, get in the Scripture. I've had a tough week this week. I'm going to be honest with you. It's been a tough week for Dale. I'm living above water, not below water. I'm not the tail. I'm the head. By the grace of God, I'm still afloat. I'm not sunk. And I'm not losing. I'm still winning in Christ. But it's been a tough week. But we have victory in Jesus. Victory doesn't come from nowhere. Victory comes from something that's tangible, and Jesus is tangible. And I'm proof, and you're proof, and the Scripture proves it. And I've got three people I'd like you to hear from this morning. We're going to just take a time out. I'm trying to decide who will go first. We're going to have, I'm going to let Linda go first. Come on up here, Linda, and I'll hold the mic, and you do the talking. And let's give Linda a hand clap. How about it?
Testing.
Well, you can hold it if you keep it up there.
Yeah, I'm good with that.
How are you doing?
I am doing great.
Well, good to see you.
Thank you.
All right.
I give pieces of my testimony all the time, but I think this is like grand performance.
She's not nervous.
I was raised believing in God. In the late 70s, for whatever reason, I gave him up. 7 years ago, I was in a very violent accident and suffered a ton of life-threatening injuries. I did, in fact, die twice.
Yeah.
But God was ready for me. He wrapped his angels around me and made things happen that could never be duplicated. Obviously, I didn't die. My mind was rattled along with my many physical wounds. It took about 6 months to physically heal, longer to become stable, and for my mind to be less scattered, and I'm not sure on that yet. I have no memory of the accident. It took quite a while for me to start having questions about what happened, and more importantly, why did God save me? I was not worthy, and why did God care? I hadn't done anything for him, but he saved me. Why did he do this for me? Why did God care about someone who did not follow his word? My husband and I had never had a religious life together. One morning, I asked David a question, a simple one, I thought, but one I didn't know the answer to. What I didn't know was that through all my suffering, David had repeatedly prayed to God saying that he couldn't take me yet because David didn't know if I was saved or not. My question was his big chance to find out and to talk to me about it. Long story short, we had a long conversation. The result was within a week, we found Rock Church and Pastor Dale. We first came here on November 24th, 2013. November 24th. The day this unworthy girl gave her life to Jesus.
And you've never been the same. Come up here and wrap your arms around your wife. Come up here, David. Give her a big hug. Let's give them a... Look, she's not only just alive on this earth, she has the hope of eternal life. And Jesus Christ has touched them both and is revolutionizing their life. He's all mushy. Now you need to go before you get home, get her flowers. Go get her about 3 big gifts and a new car if she wants it. He got himself a new truck. Now she needs one. I believe in Jesus. Amen. Hey, we have another great testimony. Lynn, come on. Let's give Lynn a hand.
Well, mine's not written down, so let's see where this goes. So Wednesday night, we were going through Acts chapter 3, talking about Peter and John and someone who they just picked out in the crowd and prayed for them to be healed. So Pastor Dale asked us, hey, what kind of testimonies do you have? And I thought back to a trip that I took with my kids to Window Rock, and we went to Vacation Bible School. It was some special friends of ours who were Christians, and there, my friend, it was her brother who was a pastor there. So we went up there, my kids, and Dave didn't get to go on that trip, but the kids and I went, and I, just so you know, I have been saved, but before this trip, I had finally been baptized in the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And so the point of this whole thing is that my son was playing basketball. He hurt his knee. People came and got me. Hey, something happened with Connor. And went there, had a crowd of people around him. They called the ambulance, and I felt like I need to go down and pray over him. And I prayed in tongues. And so I felt his knee go back into position. And so we went to the hospital, and one of the couples that was with us, they lived there. They were the husband was a nurse there at the hospital there in Window Rock. And he came with us, and he was even saying, I've never seen someone have their knee healed like this. And later on, they told me after the trip, months later, that God used that story to minister to other people in the church to say, we've never seen a healing. Most of the time, they've just, you think the miracles only happen in the Bible, but we got to see it. So I just thought, you know, you never know how God's going to call you. You may feel that urge to pray for somebody, and you may not feel like you're the most equipped person, but you need to be obedient to what God calls you to do.
Amen. Hey, Lynn, I got a question. Can I talk you out of that story?
No. And you know what? My son still feels, of all the things he's even struggled with, I know he knows deep down in his side that prayer has worked.
That's
prayer
right.
Does work. God does answer your prayers. So you may never see it the way you think it's going to happen, but God knows how he needs to do it.
You come up here and hug your wife, too. I don't want to get you in trouble. Let's give a Rollins a hand. Come on. Jesus saves, Jesus heals, Jesus transforms. Please keep the Rollins in prayer. David lost his father a couple days ago, and so keep their family in prayer, and God will be faithful there too to keep comfort and peace in this family. Well, young lady, this girl here has a special name for me. She calls me Pastor Dad instead of Pastor Dale. So she's going to testify for just a little bit this morning.
Okay. I'm going to need a lot of tissues later. I, at the age of 7, was raised in the church, and Pastor Dale even baptized me as a kid. And later on in my youth, I fell away from the Lord, and I fell into drugs and got involved in a 9-year meth addiction. And I was in a relationship with a man that was abusive. I conceived a daughter who was taken from me. I had to sign my rights over. And I came back out here to live with my sister and to get clean, and I relapsed. And I was at my friend's house, and she had oxycodone from a tooth that she had pulled. And
and I was talking to God early in the morning when I was by myself. And I said, God, I'm ready to go. No one needs me here anymore. I'm not a good mom. I'm not a good role model for her. She's with my parents. She's in good hands. I'm just a burden on everybody, and I don't need to be here anymore. But I said, if I'm worth something, can you please show me? And as I was walking into the house, my friend's mom walked past me with the bottle of pills I was going to use to commit suicide. And that was God showing me right then and there that not only does he love me, but I am worth something. I have value.
Do you believe he has risen?
Yes, thank you, Jesus.
How long you been walking with him tight and free and sober?
August 11th will be 6 years.
For the glory of Jesus. Let's give the Lord a hand. Come on. Anybody else need some Kleenexes? Thank you for opening your heart and your lives with all of us and letting us look into your world and see what the Lord has done. He's a transformer. We know it's true because we believe this is true. And their testimony is the testimony of an empty tomb. All those fellas, other fellas that started all those other religions, they're still in a grave. But Jesus rose on the third day. Mary and a few others went to the tomb. He wasn't there. Peter, they went and told Peter. Peter rushed down to the tomb, and Jesus wasn't there. John, you read in John, went down to the tomb, and Jesus wasn't there. And when John said he saw and he believed, church, the empty tomb is proof of the resurrection. Jesus went to the cross, went to the tomb. He carried our sins to the tomb, but he didn't stay in the tomb because today he's at the right hand of the Father, resurrected. He sent his comforter to us to even hear these testimonies this morning. Jesus is alive. His grave is empty. It's empty. It's empty. It's empty. He's not there. Remember the angel said, he's not there. Why are you looking for the living among the dead? He's alive. Glory to God. And so many people saw it. And I could unpack it for an hour. 1 Corinthians 5 and 8. Let's just read that really quick. In other words, there were eyewitnesses. And that he appeared to Cephas, that was Peter, then to the 12. Then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to the apostles. Last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me. You know, Paul experienced the resurrected Christ just a little different because Christ had already died and risen, sent the Holy Spirit. And I like to say it this way. Paul was on the road to Damascus to kill and persecute more Christians, and the resurrected power of God showed up and knocked him off his horse or mule or donkey, whatever it was. Run him off a road. Appeared to him in a vision. Did you know? And I did a message like this last year. The resurrection of Christ is one of the most documented facts even in history. So we know there's proof because of who we are and what he's done in our life. We know because of the Word of God. We know because the tomb is empty. We know because there is eyewitnesses. Paul would say a little later in 1 Corinthians 15, but if it's preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection? It's foolishness to say that there's no resurrection. He has risen. And Paul is saying, in the context of this whole scripture. Salvation is impossible without resurrection. You eliminate this concept from the Bible, you eliminate our hope. But because it is in the Bible, we have hope in the resurrection. And now that we're finished the introduction, let's get to the message. Don't worry, I won't let you roast burn. I got taters on the stove too. I saw that. 1 Corinthians 15 and 13 said, "And if there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised." But then Paul will say a little later on, "If Christ has not been raised, then those who've fallen asleep are lost." And then he goes on to say in 1 Corinthians 15, "In Christ all will be made alive." And then he later says in that chapter in verse 20, "But Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep." Without the resurrection, church, there is no hope, no hope, no hope. But God's Word says there is resurrection, and because there is resurrection, we have hope, we have hope, we have hope. And it's more than hope, it's life. It's life when you have a car wreck and a sovereign God sovereignly intervened in your life because you're walking with God. You walked in this church and gave your heart to Christ. Not only do you have hope, you have life now and life forever. Lynn's son was able to walk away after his knee. That's something that's alive and living and active. Drug addicts just don't get free. She got free by the power of Almighty God. And because we have this hope, all these things are minimal compared to the hope of eternal life, the hope of spending eternity in heaven with Jesus Christ, the hope that when it all ends here, it's just beginning forever. No more heartache, no more tears, no more sickness, no more anxiety, no more pressure, no more depression, no more empty bank accounts. It will be worth it all, church, when we see Jesus Christ and we get to spend eternity with Him. There is life after death. Paul was saying, he said even about his own preaching, he said, "And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless." If Christ hasn't been raised, what I'm doing this morning is useless. If there's no resurrection, there's no good news. There's no message. There's no message. Faith. The Bible says faith come by hearing, and hearing come by the Word of God. If preaching is useless, there's no good news. If preaching is useless, there's no message of salvation. If preaching is useless, the message of grace is not true. If preaching is useless, there's no hope. If preaching is really useless, there's no Savior. But preaching's not useless. Give me an amen on that. There is a Savior. There is salvation. There is healing. There is deliverance from addiction. There is. And there is the hope of heaven. The resurrection gives power to the message. Resurrection validates our Christian faith, right? 1 Corinthians 15 and 14, when we just read it. And then 17, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, 17, "And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile." And Paul was trying to convince some people, if you don't believe in the resurrection, what do you believe? You don't have anything to believe in. It validates our faith. It's a faith walk, y'all. People say, "Well, if I could only see Him like the early apostles saw Him." Well, we're not going to see Him like that. We see Him like that. It's faith. I bet this three testimonies, and there's 300 more out there. Lynn said I couldn't talk her out of it. You know, Linda, wasn't really God. He didn't. You're imagining things. Say, your husband's about ready to hit me over that one. He knows it's true. You know who rescued you. Everybody has a knower. I know who saved my marriage. I know. I know who set me free. I know His kindness, His gentleness, His love, His patience. You can't convince me otherwise. I used to take the Bible when I first got saved with my fraternity brothers. Because when I got saved, I got transformed. And we're still friends today. Some of them have come in salvation, some haven't. We still love each other, respect each other, honor each other. I used to pick up the Bible and I'd say, boys, that's a respectful term where I come from, not a derogatory term. Boys, read this Bible, see if He's real. Ask Him yourself as you read the Word if He's real or not. And I'd say, look, if He's not real, throw it away. Go do something else. Most all of them said, oh, Dale, we know He's real. As they looked at me, I don't know why they stared at me funny like that. Do you, this morning, this is a question for all of us. Do you know in your knower, really know, not because some country boys up here shouting and screaming, all excited, but do you know in your knower that Jesus is real and alive? Because, see, you got to know. We taught our kids, but they had to have their own experience. You got to know. And in the world we live in, you got to know more than you've ever known. Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance of what we do not see. Blessed assurance, the old song, Jesus is mine. Oh, I hear it ringing in my ears. We have the assurance of our salvation because we know and are knower by faith that God's not dead, He's alive. And He's not against us, He's for us. Isn't it wonderful to sense the peace that we sense? I think almost everyone senses the peace of the Lord in this house this morning. It's crazy out there. But we can have the peace of Christ in our knower. We pray by faith. We live by faith. We declare by faith. We proclaim by faith. We operate in the gifts by faith. We go to work by faith. We come home by faith. We get on our knees by faith. And we believe if we've got Jesus Christ in our heart, I'm saved, I'm healed, I'm delivered. I believe by faith that God has a plan for you and has a plan for me. I believe by faith that God is for you and not against you. I believe by faith. I believe by faith. I believe by faith the joy of the Lord is my strength. I believe by faith that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I believe it. I believe it. I believe it. I believe by faith He gave His life for you and He gave His life for me. I believe it by faith, and I could go on and on and on, but I believe by faith, those of you that have Jesus Christ in your your life. You're a child of God. You're a son of God. You're a daughter of God. And because you're children of God, you are blessed. You are blessed. You are blessed. Give the Lord a hand. I'm blessed. I had a tough, grueling, emotional, spiritual warfare week. And I'm still blessed to the center of my bones because Jesus Christ is alive. And it's not a show. And it's not an act. And it's not just enthusiasm. He is real. He is real. Shoo. It validates our witness, doesn't it? He said in 15, more than that, we are found then that to be false witnesses about God, for we've testified about God and He was raised from the dead. It validates our witness. The hand of God and the power of God in our life validates who we are in Christ. That's what resurrection does. Matthew 28 and 19 and 20, and I shared this scripture with the men yesterday. We had a great men's breakfast. Jesus gave His disciples a commission, and He said, He said this, "Go, therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things, whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world." So because we know, and because we live by faith, and because we've been transformed, because isn't it good to know that the Almighty God validates us? That's a thought. Carry that thought home with you and think about it every day. When one of the deepest needs we have as men and women and humans is validation. We all need validation, don't we? Come on now. I do, you do. It may be our deepest need among all needs. It's possible. Jesus validates us. He loves us. He cares about us. That's why when I teach this, and I'm just talking a little core value here, and we're getting ready to receive communion. Not quite yet. Don't get too anxious. But when people come through our front doors or at our workplace, they need to be shown the love, honor, and respect that Christ gives everybody. I still believe that people, especially guests, they come through our front door, they've made up their mind if they might fit here before they get in here. Because Jesus is alive, I validate others because He validated me. I love others because He first loved me. I give to others before He first gave to me. I didn't give extra to a kids' camp just for the kids. I gave because He gave to me first. I gave because I want to validate children. I gave because I want to validate teenagers. I think these are the three most powerful words on the planet. You ready for Sunday School 101? Jesus loves you. Whew. Resurrection breaks the power of sin. Paul would say later in this chapter, if He hasn't been raised, you're still in your sins. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes all through the man, Christ Jesus. See, sin gets a hold on us, church. God hates sin. He loves a sinner. And He hates sin because sin destroys us. Sin is destructive. All sins are destructive. It harms people he loves. Have you ever? I have. We're not perfect. We're all imperfect. We're being perfected. We're not complete. We're being completed as we walk with Christ. But have you ever had, maybe not today, maybe some of you today, you know, you're going to make a mistake. And thank God there's forgiveness when you do. According to Scripture. According to the Bible. But when sin's got you, that's a whole nother, if I could, a whole nother level and a whole nother devil. You hear what I'm saying, don't you? See, because if something, meth had you, Valerie, you were in trouble thinking about suicide. The ultimate death. Terrible. It wasn't just a mistake you made. The mistake had you now. You weren't in control. Sin was in control. Did y'all hear what I'm saying? Sin had her. There may be some of you here this morning, sin's got you. You don't have control of what's going on in your world. You do good for a while and then bam, it's still got you. Or maybe there's addictions in here. I don't know. I'm sure with a group this size, there probably are some addictions. And there's dozens of addictions, everybody. Because this old thing, everybody get your hand and pinch your left hand like that. Pinch it. This old container's easily addicted. Called flesh. The Bible calls it flesh. So sin may have... Look, and the ultimate sin will keep you out of heaven. I mean, because of the resurrection, sin has no power! So if something's got you this morning, let me share the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because He rose from the dead and is at the right hand of the Father and sent the power of God. He who the Son sets free, His name is Jesus, can set you free and free indeed. That thing that's got hold of you, Jesus is bigger than that demon. He's got the power. He's got the power to free you from that thing that holds you. Oh, at first it seems fine, but then it begins to take you down a dark tube and a dark tunnel. Jesus heals, Jesus delivers, and Jesus breaks the power of sin. He does. He does. You said, oh, I'm lost. I'm lost. I'm such a sinner. I can never have any hope. I'll never get there. You know what? You're never so lost that He can't find you. You're never too deep that He won't go deep to get you. You're never too far over there that He won't come to you. Jesus died and rose again because He loves you, and if sin is keeping you from heaven this morning, don't let it keep you from heaven this morning, because Jesus rose from the dead so that you can experience heaven and eternity. That's the power of the resurrection. And dear Lord Jesus, I've preached long enough. I got two more pages of notes, but that's all, folks. Let's give the Lord a hand.